Good afternoon and happy Columbus Day and happy Thanksgiving to our neighbors to the north. My name is Amy Toy, and we are an Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest with us today who has graciously come to for the next 55 minutes to educate us on the Akashic Records. Her name is Lisa Barnett, and she is the founder of Akashic Knowing School of Wisdom, and for over 20 years has been internationally recognized as a leader in teaching and healing within the Akashic Records. So Lisa has been gracious enough to, you know, grace her praise, you know, come in and discuss this wonderful subject about the Akashic Records. Welcome, Lisa. How are you this afternoon?
Thank you, Amy. I'm terrific here in, luckily, sunny California, so we're having a beautiful fall day. All the kids are home for Columbus Day, so it's all good.
Yes. Yeah, it's sunny here in West. I'm in Western New York, or the Buffalo. I'm south of Buffalo, so it's beautiful here, too. I took a walk with my fiancé today by the water. It's just beautiful here, and we've been really blessed with the weather up here. So, Lisa, tell me about your background a little. I like to go back a little bit and work our way forward, because where we come from sometimes, you know, explains where we are now. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and you go from there. This is your hour.
Okay. So my beginnings were kind of interesting, actually, because I would say that I was one of those people who was born kind of awake. And what that means is, when I was about 3 years old, I looked at my hands and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in a body. Ah, what am I doing?
I can relate to that one, believe me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I said to my mother, I want to go back. I want to go home. I want to go back. And my poor mother was like, you are home. What are you talking about?
What are you smoking?
Yeah, really. You know, you're three. You're home. What do you, you know?
Yeah.
But no, and so for quite a while, I would talk about going home or going back. And of course, you know, being three, what I realize now is that what really triggered it is communication, because, you know, I came in to be a communicator. So that's a part of my soul path, or my soul purpose, is to communicate. And when you're 3 years old and you're learning to speak, well, communication is not so easy. So I realize now that really triggered in me the, oh my God, I'm trapped in this little bitty body and I don't know how to talk. <You know? laughs> And I could literally remember, being this expansive soul, the image I have is of these three souls, you know, very etheric-looking beings, just kind of talking or communicating, but we would talk in a different way. It was almost like, I always love the description it's an old book, probably before your time, Stranger in a Strange Land. Robert Heinlein wrote this book a long time ago, and he talked about grokking, and what he meant was, and this is really the way I think a lot of us receive psychic and intuitive information, is we kind of grok it, which means it's we get a download. You may get pictures and words, even voices or sentences. We feel things. We really get information sometimes in a very full form, but we don't tend to receive it that way so much as people, as humans. So here it's very linear. We have to have these conversations, we have to use our words, you know, to communicate. And I can't just really throw those pictures out. I can't just give you this ball of energy and information to explain everything about the Akashic Field. Mm-hmm. So that was my kind of early realization, was I'm going to have to learn to talk if I'm going to stay here. And apparently there's no easy way back. So,
yeah.
You know, so here I still am. But it was good, because it set me on my path at a very early age. And so by the time I was 14, I was reading Carlos Castaneda and Robert Monroe wrote an amazing book at that time called Journeys Out of the Body, and it talked about really astral projecting and you know, other dimensions and alternate planes. And, you know, so that's what I started. That's where I was at 14, 15, 16, was reading all of the amazing information that was coming out at that time. It was the late 60s, early 70s. And so living in California, I got to kind of experience a lot of that also. So that was kind of my humble beginnings. It was fun and interesting, and you know, I'm very blessed to have kind of grown up in California. But you know, we all go through our stuff, and so you know, as we get a little bit older, sometimes the world takes over. We have big challenges, and we shut down a lot of that innate, intuitive information and wisdom. Awareness is knowing our telepathic. Sometimes we close those down, or they just get so gummed up with everybody in our head that we no longer are able to receive a lot of information psychically or intuitively. And so, and that actually even happened to me. Part of it was by choice. I was angry at God because my two young best friends had died in kind of sad ways. And so I decided that I wasn't going to do the spiritual thing, whatever it was I had come to do. And so I closed that all off and went on my merry way for about 15 years until I got really sick. And so a lot of people notice that that's what calls them back to a spiritual path, is when we get out of alignment with our soul path and what we came to do, often it'll show up as either some kind of accident or some kind of illness, or, you know, trauma or drama or something that kind of pulls us back out of it.
Yeah, I had a car accident years ago, and I had my second near-death experience, which pulled me back onto this path, too. So it was like,
perfect example. So mine was, you know, chronic fatigue, which was kind of a slow, dull path.
Yeah.
not as shocking or interesting as a near-death experience, but it worked for me, so...
Whatever wakes you up, Lisa.
That's right, exactly. We are so unique. That's the wonderful thing. We're such unique beings that each and every one of us, you know, thank heavens we don't all have to have near-death experiences or illnesses. But anyway, so for me, I actually got back on the spiritual path and really started to study and become a healer. And I've always been really a very strong, the healing vibration. And again, there's soul paths, and I'll talk a bunch more about that as I talk more about the Akashic Records. But we do come in with, because our souls are so ancient, we've learned and done so many things throughout time and space that we really... we have all of that in our Akashic records, our Akashic field, so we can access a lot of that information. So when we come in with a soul purpose, it's very often because we've done that so many lives. We want to bring a specific talent and utilize that in this lifetime. And so one of my talents happened to be about healing and apparently about accessing the Akashic records, though it took me a little while to figure that one out. So for about 5 years, I'd hear this kind of big booming voice. And I was really doing more psychic intuitive healing work. And then every once in a while, I'd get this big booming voice when I'd be working with a client. And the information that I would receive was so profound. It was always really, you know, it was big and transformative. And I felt like I could understand the whole scope of what was going on in the person's life and past lives and, you know, kind of the whole big why. We choose what we choose. And but I didn't realize who I was speaking to when I get this big voice. I never thought to ask who it was who was talking to me. So that went on for about 5 years, and I eventually, you know, kind of serendipitously met a woman. I was on a retreat in Sedona, Arizona, and she was visiting from out of town, and she was giving a talk on medical intuition. At a center, and I went to hear her talk on medical intuition because, like I said, I had chronic fatigue for years, and so I was always very fascinated about medical intuition and how we can heal our bodies and all of that sort of thing. And she actually started to talk about the Akashic Records and being able to go into the Akashic Records. Now, I was well aware of the Akashic Records because my healing teacher talked about them, but she taught us that we were not allowed to enter the records, that we could go up to the gate and ask for some information or healing energy for a client when we finished working on them, but it was not our place to go into someone else's records.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's actually the old stance. It's the stance that's really been on Earth for really hundreds and hundreds of years. And I'll finish the story, and then I'll tell you that one. Anyway, so the great gift was that I met this woman. She told me that she could do Akashic record readings or Akashic consultations, and I had her do a reading for me, which lasted about 3 hours. And the beings of light, the masters, teachers, and lords of the Akashic records, each of us have our own beings of light that keep our records for us for time immemorial. Mine were so happy to get my ear, they went on for 3 hours. And they told me all sorts of things, like I'm supposed to write books, and I was supposed to go to Peru to reclaim some ancient energy, and I'm supposed to teach this work to the world, and, you know, on and on. And I'm just, you know, dumbstruck.
A little overwhelmed, too, wouldn't you say?
Very, very, very overwhelmed, I would say, yes. And at that point, I had, you know, three babies. I had, my son was all of a year and a half years old when his twin sisters were born. So all of a sudden, I literally had three babies under 2 years, really under a year and a half.
Wow.
And so I was just overwhelmed anyway.
I'm sure you were. Wow. They're project kids, 20-year projects.
Yeah. Right, I know. It's kind of like, really? Okay. What else would you like to add?
Don't ask that question. I don't tempt the fates anymore when I say what's more, because if I do that, they throw something else at me.
Right, exactly. No, I learned. That was pretty much it. I'm like, okay. So I've got this lined out, but of course, divine timing and, you know, baby step, baby step, baby step. So really the first thing for me to do is to learn to access the Akashic records, which I learned to do. And I became a teacher of the records, which I did for years and years. And then I eventually started my own school. So, and now, you know, now I'm on radio shows and telesummits, and I've got two books in the works. One is got an agent right now, so I'm very excited that I have a well-known agent. So hopefully my book, which is called The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Record, will be coming out next year.
Awesome.
So that's all very fun. So, you know, one of the things that the masters of the records often say is that really there is such a thing as divine timing, and things don't always work as quickly or as slowly as we'd like, you know.
Right, exactly.
And really having faith and trust in that divine timing is really the big part of the big thing that's important for us to really come to understand and you know, trust. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my little story. So basically then, let me just do a real quick kind of definition of the Akashic Record.
Yes,
for all of
please.
Your listeners who, you know, aren't really sure what that is.
Yeah.
Because it's such an ancient and esoteric word and energy that it was, it's always been on the earth or near the earth. It's a vibration. Mm-hmm. And really, it's often shown as a library. So many people, if you went and, you know, Googled the Akashic records, you would often, the pictures, the photos would be of a library. So the way I see the Akashic record is as the information arm of divine source. It's really the information arm of God. And so we can imagine that if each person has their own personal library, and each book in that library is a lifetime that you've led. And now most people on Earth live up to about 800 lives, and that's just here on this planet.
Wow.
So if you start to imagine your own little mini library, and it's lined with, you know, maybe you're only up to 600 lives, you know, it's got 600 books from here. And then there's other lifetimes where you've lived in the angelic realms or in other planets or other planes, other dimensions. All of those books, it's all written in the Akashic record. So everything you've ever been or done or thought or felt is actually written in the Akashic records. And so the truth is, the Akashic field is infinite and everywhere, so it's not actually a library in any place, right? But everything is recorded, and we literally connect to the Akashic Field really through the deep essence of our hearts. We connect to the records through our hearts. And what I use is a vibrational key, which is a sacred prayer. So there's a sacred prayer that you would say to open the records, and it raises your vibration. It acts as a vibrational key. It raises your vibration, and it moves you into that dimension of the Akashic Records so that you can converse and talk to your beings of light, your masters, your teachers, you know, your beings of light. And so it's very... now it's accessible, and so and we can use it to guide us every day in so many different ways. Now, historically, what happened was the records had been accessible to humanity, but as the Earth kind of slipped into this darker space and time, in kind of really in the last 2,000 years, but really especially in the last 1,000 years, people would access. They had this deeper access to this wisdom and this information, and people started to access it to win wars, you know, for greed, to find gold or money, to you know, win land. And so we really started to misuse it and abuse it. And so the beings of light that keep the records pulled the vibration of the Akashic Field away from the planet, so it was very difficult to access. And the only people who could reach up into that high vibrational field were the mystics, were the monks or the nuns or the priests, you know, were the people who were really living in a spiritual, pure, heart-centered path. So it's always been accessible, but you know, kind of the general humanity lost its access. But what the masters have said is it's time for us to have that access back. And of course, especially now as we've gone through the 2012 gateway, moving, you know, into 2013, we're moving into 2014, not so far away now. We've been creating new foundations and bridging the higher vibrations and bridging towards, you know, the fifth dimension, all of these pieces. And the Akashic Records really helps us to access all of that and raise our vibration, get on our soul path, do the work we came to do, or, you know, be the souls we came to be, hold the light we came to hold, and make a difference in the world so that we can move into and create. Actually, it's really we're creating it, heaven on earth or the new earth.
Wow. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Why? Okay, so someone would access the Akashic Records. Maybe, like you said, there's an illness, or maybe there's something they want to, I don't know, learn about themselves. So, I would come to you, let's say, for, you know, Akashic Record accessing.
Right. You know, I call it a consultation or a reading. You know, you would come for a session, Akashic session or consultation with me.
And then so we would look at this lifetime, or we would look at other lifetimes, or whatever they would want you to look at?
So, right, the way it works, really the easiest way for it to work is that I would open your Akashic Records, and I would talk to the beings of light that keep your records. And you would ask your questions. You would say... whatever your question was. So, you know, I'm struggling to try and find what my purpose is. I feel like I'm kind of stuck in this old job. You know, I had a kind of an emotionally abusive mother. I feel like some of these things, all these pieces are holding me back. What can we know? What can we do? What can we clear? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, what can we heal? That's my big, you know, I want to fix people.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I want to help
yeah.
them as much as you can.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the information, so it, to me it's always kind of a twofold thing, whereas the information can be so empowering and powerful, but if there's a way to move and shift the energy, you know, it's a double gift. So, yeah, so basically I ask the questions of these, you know, masters and teachers and beings of light, and they usually come back with a multiple level answer. So, to give an example, say you said, say someone says, so my mother or my father, somebody was very emotionally abusive in my childhood, and I'm afraid. I feel like I'm hiding. So what can we do about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And often what the masters will show me will be, they usually give me kind of right off the bat two or three things that we can know and to work on. So one is we can go into the childhood and we can work on clearing some of the childhood emotional pain and trauma that came from that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fold time, so as we clear that pain, we release it throughout time. So it actually allows the client to gather back their own energy that was stuck out of time and space. So it makes you feel a little bit more hollow, a little bit more weak, because you don't have all of your energy in this present moment,
mm-hmm.
which is common. Most of us don't, but we can gather much of it back. And then they might talk about a past life in which you had some of these issues. Either they happened to you, or maybe you were the perpetrator in that life. So there may have been lifetimes where you were aggressive or angry or, not so nice. And so you're finishing some of that karma. So we might go in and heal and clear and, release that old stuck karma so that you can understand that we do it all. We give and we take. We get killed and we kill. I've been in a village and was raped and pillaged and killed in some village that got burned down, I know that I was also at some point a warrior that went into a village and burned it down and probably killed and raped and pillaged myself, because
mm-hmm.
we do it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons we come to Earth, because it's a realm of free will. And the truth is that, we do grow spiritually and we do learn things. I don't get it like I'm coming to learn a lesson. I don't get it in a really intense and serious way from the masters. I get it a little bit more lightheartedly, where we make these choices, but we realize when we make these choices and when we create these soul contracts, which we can also talk more about, when we create soul contracts, we know we're these big infinite beings. We know that there's something to complete. There's karma, to me, is like a circle. So if I have a pie and there's a missing piece of the pie, that karma is incomplete. That learning or that growth is unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
So my karma is to come back and complete, remake that pie and make it whole.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I can totally relate to that, because sometimes, recently I have, my father passed away on August 31st, and I'm realizing that I came in this lifetime with more anger, and I came into this lifetime with the anger, not because I wanted it. So that would be interesting to see, if I came, coming to you for consultation, why that is. Would that be a question?
Absolutely, it would. And we relate it to wherever where's it showing up and where's it getting triggered. And very often it's connected to numerous past lives and to childhood and to something else that I call programming. And so I do like to kind of deprogram people. So in this scenario about this emotional abusive person, we can help to finish and complete that karma from those past lives. And then you might see, the masters might say, where this has been triggered in this lifetime, or, a pattern that may have be, that is creating this very stuck, unmoving kind of energy that makes it really hard to go forward, even though you kind of want to and you're pretty aware, but you still are feeling pretty stuck. So energetically, I go in and dismantle these old energy patterns that look like a big jungle gym to me. They look like this big metal kind of, box with these. Yeah. Anyway, so it's, the way I work in the records is I find it's very informative, and really I'm just channeling this high divine energy and wisdom, and they just guide me into clearing and releasing, and basically they're clearing and releasing whatever it is that you're ready to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very kind of strong, clear, powerful healing through the Akashic field because, again, kind of back to this is divine source energy.
Right, exactly, and you want to get it out because, you know, better out than in, right?
That's right, as Shrek always says.
Better out than in. Let's still talk about what things we could clear when we're doing an Akashic Records consultation or reading. You said soul contracts. That's funny you mentioned that. What is a soul contract?
So the way the masters show me soul contracts being made, and this is another, they're very funny because, of course, the beings of light and masters are, again, their divine source, their joy and light and bliss. So one, actually learning to access your own records and spending time there really changes your life. It's very transformative. It certainly lightened me up from being a stressed out, overwhelmed mother of three babies, you know, to literally being able to help and work with clients most days and just feel really joyous, you know. So living in that energy and doing the work in that energy is very profound in its own right. But so when we come, when we decide we're going to come back to Earth, we decide, you know, oh, we need to make a couple soul contracts, you know, so let's get things set up and kind of let's stage our life. And so they show me this, the image they like to give me is, say, 500 people in a high school gymnasium. You know, you used to go to PE, or there's a basketball game, and you have all the bleachers are filled, and there's people running around on the floor, on the courts, and everything like that. So imagine all these people have come together to create soul contracts. And so one person will stand up and they'll say, I'd like to have a soul contract to have some children. Is there any souls who would like to be my children? And a couple of souls will raise their hands and they'll say, oh, I would. Remember, I was your mother once, and that was really fun. You want to be a good mom for me? And you go, okay, that sounds good. Maybe another child raises their soul, raises their hand and say, I'll be your child. You know, remember that time where you were not a very nice mother? How about if we finish that karma and you're going to be a nice mom and I'm going to really try and be like an easygoing kid this time, okay? So here's another soul contract and on. So you make a couple different soul contracts and you say, some of them are kind of for like ease, and often people will notice this. So if people have a couple children, they realize how different their children are because their children have their own soul contracts and path, and you have your contracts with them and karma with them if there is some. There isn't always, but and so, you know, one child might be super easygoing, really helpful, and the other one may be, you know, kind of moody and depressed and a big challenge for you. But a lot of times that contract is about seeing that soul for who they really are, shining the light back to them so they can remember who they are and they can elevate themselves out of that darkness or that depression or that sadness or that separateness. Mm-hmm. So those are really a lot of what we come to do is to be the light and to really remind each other that's what we are. We are divine mm-hmm. source. We are the light. We are these, you know, these infinite souls. And so we play it out in all sorts of different ways. So we make soul contracts. So you might have a half a dozen soul contracts to have children, and you might have one or two of them.
Mm.
So they don't all come to fruition because it just kind of depends on, say, who you end up marrying and what soul contracts they have with children. They may have none. So you may end up having two children that really only have soul contracts with you and not with the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the other soul contracts, if you had married someone else, mm-hmm. you might have ended up having more children. And it's all good. In the end, it's all just fine anyway. It's not like, you know, anything, you know, happens to those souls. Those souls go on like, okay, well, I didn't get born to them. I'll go back to the gym and I'll make another soul contract.
Yeah, because I was always told that I had a couple kids, and I don't have children. I've decided not to have kids. But, you know, my friends would say, who did readings, you know, Amy, you have twins. And I'm like, I don't want them. I don't want kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So there's the, you made a soul contract, but this is your choice, your free will. You can say, I choose to not have children in this lifetime. And that's just fine. The soul will go on and they will find another person to be born to. All good.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, we're infinite beings, and so it doesn't matter really to us. The truth is, you know.
Exactly. Well, I thought it was a felony or something up there.
Right. No, and people really worry about that kind of thing sometimes. And you know, there's nothing to worry about. It is really all perfect and and in divine right order. So sometimes, again, we may make a half a dozen contracts for relationships, for, you know, marriage partners or intimate relationships, and we may never marry. Because whatever happens, whatever other choices we made, whatever we decided to do, we decided we didn't want to get married. Or we may want to get married, but we're not living in a place where any of the people that are in our contracts live.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we have contracts with people. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I've actually had it quite a few times in my life where I go on a trip and I end up meeting you know, my new best friends because that are from Switzerland or from, you know, Florida, and I live in California. And somehow we all end up, you know, getting together because we're soul family, which is a little bit of a different piece. So we make these contracts with people to do some work, to finish some karma, to create something, to support each other, to, you know, to be the light, to remind each other who we are. So those are our soul contracts. And then on top of it, we also have soul family. So sometimes the soul contracts are with soul family members, and sometimes not.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you the definition of my Akashic definition of soul family. So the way the Lords of the Records explain soul families to me is that when we very, very first individuate from Source in the very beginning, there's about, oh, maybe 20 to 50 of us who are born. I say all these souls are born into a basket. And so,
wow.
Or maybe we're born into, you know, I'd say, or a spaceship. But we travel around together. And we don't come straight to Earth, usually. We go travel around in the galactic realms and in other worlds and universes. And we grow and we learn and we go to different places or planets. And as we're going through time, again, we're infinite souls. We live kind of forever. And so as we're going along, sometimes a soul says, oh, I want to go live on that planet. I'm going to come and inhabit that planet, and I want to live in those little bodies. Look at those cute little creatures. And this is a big old soul. And so the soul literally has to divide into some pieces to be able to fit and not be too overwhelming for that physical form. And so sometimes our souls will break into, you know, 10 parts or 20 parts or 100 parts, or even some of the really big ancient souls will break into 1,000 pieces. And so often we talk about soulmates, and that theory would be that your soul would break into two parts. But in our soul family, the way I actually get it is we break into a bunch more parts than just two.
Oh.
So our soul family grows, and so we have a lot of, you know, souls around that are embodied in the planet that are kind of similar to us, that think like us, that like things like us, that maybe like to travel and have been places we've been. Sometimes we almost feel like we've lived parallel lives with them. I don't know if you've ever met someone who's I went to that school and I did that and I did that and I just missed you by a year or something, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that explains it. Yeah, you'll meet somebody and you know them too. It's like, oh my God, Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You're just like, oh, my new best friend. I feel like I've known you forever, and we've only been talking for 2 hours, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And those are really soul family members. And sometimes we have contracts with them, like in a, you know, like maybe if things work out really, really well, then you end up marrying a soul family member with a beautiful contract of support. So that's like a lovely one. sometimes we marry someone who's maybe not a soul family member, and we really want to grow in our ability to forgive and to empower ourselves and to shine the light back at someone who could really use some light. And they may or may not receive it, so we may or may not continue in that marriage, right? So a lot of times people say, why would I have married that person? What was I thinking? You know? And sometimes we're thinking, you know, we came to be of service, and we came to support them in their growth, to you know, help to teach them. Maybe we're very spiritual people and they're not. Well, and we came to you know, hold that light and that energy so they can awaken to that spiritual energy. And they may or may not, you know. Mm-hmm. So if they don't, and we've done our best and we've given it our all, really the contract, it gets complete. So we can complete our soul contracts and move on. Yeah. So that's also another really great thing to know. So we can finish, you know, it's like the masters say, you can complete your karma contracts and vows. You can. That's a lot of what we come to do in a lifetime, is to complete things. So, you know, those are the choices we make. I want to finish that old karma. I have some vow where I vowed I would never be rich again because I was rich and mean. And so, you know, people are struggling with money and they realize it's because they have this vow. Like, you could take a vow of poverty, which is a spiritual vow, because, say, you were a priest or a monk or a nun or a ascetic. Maybe you were a guru in India, or you lived in a cave and you just prayed all day. Or you lived in a monastery, or so, all different times and places in the world, of course. And we could take vows of poverty because the society supported us. So if you are living in a monastery, well, you have a roof over your head. You're given a robe, even if it might be scratchy and brown, or you know. But you're clothed. You've got food. You know, the villagers give you a chicken here or there, a bowl of rice. You know, we're not starving. So you could take a vow of poverty, and that vow meant that I'm not going out into the world to work and make a living, in a monetary living. My work is to be the light and to be the prayer, to be the monk, or the, you know, really hold the high vibration for the planet. And so many, 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 especially spiritual people, have been that again and again throughout history, throughout past lives. And so we take these vows of poverty. So it's very useful. That's always a good one to clear in the Akashic Records. I always like to clear past lives where we took vows of poverty or vows of chastity. Or sometimes we, you know, like I said, the other side is that we may have been very, very rich, and maybe we had a whole a little empire, and we were very greedy. And so we taxed our serfs terribly, and everybody was poor and hungry except for us, who were just filthy rich. But nobody liked us, and so we were lonely and alone and died alone. And so maybe we make a deathbed vow, and we say, I'm never doing that again. Money is bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? And of course, it wasn't the money. It was the person that was not using the money, you know, for the highest purpose. And so, but we make those vows nonetheless. And so there's a lot of people, of course, everywhere, but that you know, have these kind of issues that are coming up. So, again, these are all things like in an Akashic consultation that we would work on clearing and healing, releasing from past lives. Again, a lot of times that we do these childhood, you know, in our childhood we have our ancestral lineage, where things are actually, we really receive it through our genetics and our DNA, where money is bad. Sometimes our grandparents or our parents talk about money is bad. People who are rich are, you know, mean and stingy, or, you know, people, our parents say things to us. What do you think? Money grows on trees. You know, and it gives us a negative energy around money. So a lot of that, we can ask those kinds of questions and receive whatever the unique answer is for that specific soul in their specific Akashic record. So,
Interesting. So another thing I was thinking, what is the difference between a psychic reading and what about astrology as well versus an Akashic consultation?
Let's see. Interesting. So the way, and I kind of say this from my experience of being a psychic, because that's what I did as a psychic intuitive healer for years before I really started accessing the Akashic Records. But what I notice very often is that people are, you know, they're reading the energy field, they're reading the chakras, the energy field, the aura. There's some very intense psychic anatomy. There's a lot of, we have just so many channels. There's a lot of information in our etheric bodies. Mm-hmm. And so can be very present. So a lot of what we get in a psychic reading is that information that's present in our field. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times a good psychic can go, you know, into past lives. I just have kind of a past life that just happens to be one of my strongest suits. Because when I worked as a psychic, I did a lot of past life work. But a lot of times people are kind of, the way I get it is my higher self, which is, you know, certainly a step above my personality, is talking to your higher self. And we're receiving higher vibrational information, but it's still more from this plane and dimension. And then, you know, astrology plays in a little bit different because that's very much about the birth chart and part of what you were really choosing to create to be able to fulfill a lot of your soul contracts and a lot of the karma and vows. So I find that a lot of the information in our charts, our astrological charts, can really explain also a lot of the parts that we were, you know, why did I come in with, you know, these planets, you know, and then you can see how it serves you or what you wanted to finish and clear, so how it doesn't serve you, right? So the Akashic field, though, and again, you know, the way I kind of described it in the beginning is I was working more as a psychic and a healer. Every once in a while when I would go into a very deep kind of psychic trance and I would connect with a client who had a very high vibration, also, we could move that into this very high vibrational consultation of the Akashic field. So I realized that we moved into the records, and that's how come I would get this big booming voice like from the masters of the records. And for me, it was always phenomenal because it was so much more information than I got as a psychic. It was so much more vast. I could really see the soul contracts and all the parts that I had come in and wanted to create in this lifetime. And the lifetimes, what I call our soul lineage. So how our lifetimes string together to create this kind of beautiful, you know, you could consider it like a pearl necklace, this beautiful necklace of all of these lifetimes in which, say, you were a healer, or lifetimes in which maybe you lived in the angelic realms, and so and why you have that communication ability, and where you lived, you know, and what you did in other lifetimes. So it strings together this very beautiful soul lineage, which also is useful to explain who we are and what we came to do, part of what our soul purpose is, because that's all, you know, kind of strung together in the Akashic field. So to me, the Akashic record, because, again, it is the information arm of Source, that really what we're doing is we're accessing kind of the biggest, most expansive information that we can access. So I went from, you know, doing more psychic readings and healing to doing Akashic record readings and healing, because I just felt that it gave me such a greater expanse of information and energy and wisdom and this pure unconditional love. And then we can also use the other tools we have. And so I see the Akashic Record as kind of this big umbrella. And then we can use the healing tools we already have. I have students who actually work with people as nutritionalists and work with their physical body energy and their body types and their nutrition to really create a healthy body, and they do this also through accessing the Akashic Records and guiding people that way. I certainly have many students who are also Reiki masters, and it steps up that vibration. And also who like to do like access consciousness. One of my friends who's an Akashic Record teacher also teaches access consciousness, because she finds it just the records, because they're kind of this highest vibration of God, really steps up anything else you do. So a lot of my students are very very spiritual, on a really lifelong spiritual path as teachers and healers, and they want to be able to access that kind of higher vibration and wisdom so that they could, you know, step up the information, step up the healing, step up their own personal vibrations. And what the masters told me years and years and years ago was that the Akashic Record, this doing this work, really is its own path to enlightenment. And yeah, so in the way of it really helps, you know, just like as I talk about, you know, there is no right or wrong. There is no good or bad. We kill, we're killed. It's really kind of a flash in the pan in the scheme of our infinite lives, our infinite souls. And so as we live in that realm and that vibration, and we start to see the truth of who we are, the divine essence of who we are, it moves us into a much higher state of consciousness. And so they say eventually that's the state that you just start to live in, and that's a much more awakened state than, you know, very often the state that most of humanity is still living in.
Mm-hmm.
So its own path.
Yes,
it is.
It is really cool. It's really, you know, there's so many different, yeah, the Akashic Records. You mentioned Edgar Cayce. He was one of the first people, and not first in this last century, to really access that.
He was really the one who made it famous, who really brought it forward. Absolutely, and a lot of that is because the vibration was pulled so far away that like the Bible talks about the Book of Life, which is the Akashic Records. Your name is written in the Book of Life. And there's many different Bible quotes that really kind of allude to the Akashic Field, to this energy. And interestingly, there's a gentleman, Dr. Irvin Laszlo, who has written a book called Science in the Akashic Field and the Akasha Paradigm. And he really believes that this is, in my non-scientific terms, really the quantum field of everything. And so that's really what we're moving into. And that's how I see Edgar Cayce. So Edgar Cayce was also called the Sleeping Prophet, right? And he lived back in 1900s. I think he was actually born in late 18-something. But he became pretty famous between about 1920 and 1940. And he put himself into a hypnotic trance. And so he was really hypnotized and asleep, hence the Sleeping Prophet. And he had a secretary who wrote down everything he said, and his wife would ask questions. So basically, the way he would do a consultation is a person would want to ask questions about, say, their physical illness. He did a lot of physical health work. And so his wife would read the questions, and the secretary would write down the answers. But he was, because he was asleep and so out of his way, you know, he was kind of out of his own way, he would bring through some really phenomenal, expansive scientific information in the Akashic Field, because, of course, everything is written in the Akashic Field.
Wow.
So the only thing that really holds us back is ourselves, right? Our own filters, our own beliefs, our own attitudes. I can't do that, or I can't get that information, or I don't know how, I don't know, you know. So when we bring ourselves into the smaller human piece, we're holding ourselves back more. and when we just can really step out into the bigger expanse of the Akashic field, then we can really access, you know, important information for ourselves and our path. And eventually, as I do teach this to people, and I teach them to access the records for themselves, and I do teach them to learn to access the records for others, so people can become certified Akashic Record consultants with my school, Akashic Knowing School of Wisdom. So I do train people to be consultants, because what the masters have said is one of the ways to move into the fifth dimension is, of course, by raising the vibration of humanity, raising the vibration of the planet. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we do that is by accessing the records, by being the bridge of the Akashic high vibration, Akashic field through our bodies. We're helping to expand that out into humanity and raise the vibration of humanity. And then ground that, of course, down into our dear sweet Mother Earth, helping her to raise her vibration also. So in accessing the records, we're bridging heaven and earth, divine mm-hmm. source and earth right through our bodies. And mm-hmm. so, of course, we are also benefiting, you know, from it. And that's one of the things the masters say is that many, many, many people would benefit from having a consultation, starting to see the big picture of the world and their life and their soul path and purpose and the contracts they've written and what they're ready to release. And of course, you know, we need consultants. So, so I teach people how to do consultations, and I'm training teachers to teach the records also. So that's part of what I'm also doing with my school, Akashic Knowing School of Wisdom.
Wow, that's great, Lisa. That's great. Well, we're running out of time. Tell people where we can find you and how we can schedule a consultation, and about your school, where we can find that. Is that, do you have to go to California? Is it of course, you have Skype,
right.
You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I've gone really global, so I have students all over the world. You don't have to come to California. My website is akashicknowing.com. So it's akashicknowing.com, akashicknowing.com. So that's my site. Right on my site, you can schedule a consultation under the Work With Me page. It's the second page. You can purchase and schedule a consultation right through the website. So you basically, and one of the things I want to give your listeners today is a gift of a 30% discount on a 1-hour Akashic Record consultation. So if someone's interested or if you're interested in having a consultation with me, when you go and hit the buy button for the 1-hour consultation, when you go to that page where you would purchase the consultation, you would put love, L-O-V-E, in the coupon code box and hit apply, and then you'll see you get a $97 discount on my consultation for an hour. And then after you purchase it, you'll get a link to my calendar, and you can go and schedule a time that works for you.
Excellent.
And I also do 30-minute consultations, although I'm just doing the gift on the hour consultations right now. So you can do that right on my website. You can also see about classes I'm offering. But if you're interested in, I have an online downloadable course, so you can do it anywhere in the world. It's a six-week, there's six sessions, six-week course with a 30-page manual and what else? You get to join my private Facebook group, so you can contact me and ask questions, and I sometimes will download new meditations and different things on the Facebook page. And there's an hour-long Q&A also in there. So really the best way to access that, because it's not published on my website, I usually do that more for specials, but you would send me an email at lisa@akashicknowing.com and just tell me you're interested in doing my Akashic Record Course 1. And you can also find that on the Contact Me page on my website at Akashic Knowing. You can go to Contact Me and fill that out, and I'll shoot you the link to that course, so you can learn to access your own Akashic records, or you can get a 30% discount on a 1-hour Akashic consultation with me.
Great. Wow. That's great, Lisa. Thank you so much. This was awesome. This was a very insightful hour. I appreciate you coming on and giving us your knowledge. And, wow, this is great. So
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Oh, Lisa, it was a, you were a pleasure. Take care. Everyone, next week will be a repeat, and the week after will be Georgina Cannon talking about past lives. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.